Well, hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment, I am going to introduce you to Deborah Piguet. She's an expert on a number of different fronts, but most of all, I think she just seems really fun from what I've seen so far. So we're very excited to have her today on The Boundless Show. And Deborah, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be great. We were just talking about Southern California and her missing the beach, which is her first world problem, apparently, because she had to move
Big
a little
problem.
Bit away from it. Yeah, exactly. speaking of problems, today we're going to have you talk about taming our tongues, which is just crazy making to begin with, because we know that the Bible says that the tongue is basically a restless evil.
Yes.
Is there anything else in the Bible, like, related to us that's specifically called evil? I don't know that there is.
Well, sometimes the thoughts of the heart can be evil.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The funny part is that the Bible says no man can tame the tongue, and I had the nerve to write a book called Taming the Tongue.
Her book is 30 days, no less. So we're going to do this in 30 days to taming your tongue. What you say and don't say will improve your relationships. So getting back to scripture, yeah, it's interesting because we talk about the heart. The good news is for those who trust Christ, God has given us a new heart. He has not guaranteed that with a tongue, though. So we still
we still have to
be careful. Okay, so this is going to be great, because I would like to say that I have never had a problem with my tongue, but I've now hosted a show for 10 years, and I tell people that it is the grace of God alone that I have not said something full-on crazy on this show that has gotten us, like, sued or me in trouble or something like that.
Well, you probably take heed to your ways, which is a good place to start in terms of what the Bible says about your tongue.
Yeah.
Because in Psalms 39, the psalmist says, I will take heed to my ways, that I don't sin with my tongue. So you have to be conscious of what you're saying. And especially now you see all the faux pas in the media, people just saying stuff all over the place.
Well, I like to think I do that about 30% of the time. And the rest of the time is either me just getting rebuked by someone for not having done that, or the Holy Spirit having to convict me. So so it's great that we have you here to walk through some of this. So I want to start out with talking about what you called and what you did a tongue fast. That sounds horrible for people that like to talk and feel like they just have all kinds of amazing things to say, which many of us, even the introverts, will say, I don't talk often, but when I do talk, I just say something amazing. And then the rest of us just think that we're always so funny and witty and awesome. So tell us about this fast.
Okay, so first of all, it's not a food fast, and it's not a total
Thank
fast.
Thank goodness for that.
Okay. It's just a period of abstinence. But the good news is that we're abstaining from negative uses of the tongue. Mm-hmm. We're just abstaining from negative speech. And I this is a project I started for myself when I messed up and told something I wasn't supposed to tell. Mm-hmm. I didn't betray a trust. I was just trying to rescue a friend who had a wayward employee, and I was trying to get word to that person to shape up or ship out type thing.
Yeah.
And my friend did not appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And so I felt so bad. I just said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to open the Bible and I'm going to find every negative use of the tongue I can find. And then I'm going to go on a fast, a period of verbal abstinence. So I found them, like 30. And I'm sure there are more, but I just decided that was going to be a thing for me.
Okay. So what did that actually look like? Because if I went through and found the ways that I, you know, am wayward in my use of the tongue, I would just be silent. I mean, let's be honest.
But you don't have to be silent. See, one of the first things I attacked was telling half the truth.
Okay. You do tell on yourself a lot here.
I do.
I mean, just in looking through the book, there were like, I think people could have 6 or 7 grievances against you, Deborah, for your use of the tongue. So let's talk about your little half-truths.
Okay, so my half-truth was that, one of mine that I talked about a lot was always being slightly late for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Los Angeles, you know, our traffic is legendary.
Right.
So I would come into a meeting because I really hadn't left enough time to get there. Mm-hmm. And I would just sit down and say, traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wasn't why I was late. But, I mean, there is traffic out there.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say it was bad traffic.
I didn't say it was bad traffic. I just said traffic. Now, if they took that to mean that held me up, you know, so my husband said, now, you know, you are trying, when you tell half the truth, you're trying to get people to draw a conclusion based on that half of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, half the truth is a whole lie. So that I tackled that one and said, now, are you really telling the whole truth? You know, even as a Christian, you can just kind of imply some things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ones that I really tackled was complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were going on this trip to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm going to be on a complaining fast. this whole time.
One would think that would be easy to do in Hawaii.
I must have had 10 okay. violations before we got on the plane.
Oh, my word. Okay.
Why is this line so long for the clearance, you know, okay. just all kinds of stuff. So I just decided, you know what? It just doesn't make for a good Christian, really. It's not a good model. Mm-hmm. It's not a good model to always be negative. I want to be known as that person who is positive in her speaking mm-hmm. and whose words add life to people. And when people leave your presence, they'll say, that was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are people like you hear about that. People that have, I mean, there are a number of preachers and Christian authors that people have said, you know, when you are with them, you leave that conversation or their presence feeling like you have been poured into.
Yeah.
And you would think that that would be something that we would all aspire to.
You would think that would be
Christian.
Our norm.
Yeah.
When the Bible says, let the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, as I went down this list, none of these are acceptable to God. So mm-hmm. I need to get on a path to try to refrain from those. And mm-hmm. so that's what it's all about, refraining from the negative speech. And you don't have to be so legalistic about it. But and the reason I say 30 days, because mm-hmm. anything you do for 30 days, you're going to become highly sensitive to your tendency to do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let's get back to the complaining. I mean, how obviously you caught yourself having, mm-hmm. you know, saying, okay, I've just complained about 10 things. I'm not even on the plane yet. What did that, how, as you worked through the 30 days or as you addressed that specific issue, how were you able to correct and adjust and build the habit of not practicing?
This is where not talking helps.
Yeah.
Because when you find yourself about to complain, it's like, oh, look at the weather. Mm-hmm. There are going to be thunderstorms tomorrow and I have to fly back. It's like, I can't control that. Mm-hmm. So why don't I just not talk about that? Mm-hmm. Do I need to verbalize that? I do have control over my mouth. And that's what that taming thing is about. Mm-hmm. It's about not eliminating, but bringing those words under subjection to the yeah. spirit. And okay. so I said, you know what? I can choose not to say that.
Yeah.
Or I can choose to complain only to the person who can change the circumstances.
Okay.
So if you can't change the circumstances, why am I wasting words talking to you about it?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting talking about, like you said, about traffic or half-truths. A lot of people say, well, what if you're just kind of like telling a half-truth, you're kind of fudging the truth, but it ultimately you're trying to encourage someone or ultimately you don't want to make them feel bad. So I had, okay, my roommate is not good at this. So this morning I walked out of the house and, you know, I was heading off to work and I asked her, I said, does this outfit look okay? And she looked me up and down and she said, it's not great.
That's good. Could you handle that level of truth?
I could because I know her and I expected something like that from her. But I know that she is probably one person that would say that to me and everyone else would have said, that is great. It looks fine or some version of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What, I mean, should we catch ourselves in that too?
Well, we should, but you got to be really careful here.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I always say I open my mouth with wisdom. I say that. I don't always do that, but I say that as the standard that I set. Mm-hmm. It comes from Proverbs 31. I open my mouth with wisdom and on my tongue is the law of kindness, meaning I'm going to be kind in what I say. Uh-huh. So I had an incident like that on Sunday. I was deciding whether or not I was going to wear bangs here or I was going to wear up in this all face revealing thing on the top of my head so I wouldn't have to go to the beauty shop. And I asked a friend, I said, now, what do you think I should do? Well, she hated the hair on the top of the head with the knot on it, you know, but she didn't want to tell me that. She said, well, you know, which one are you going to be more confident with? I'm like, just tell me this hairstyle is ugly. Uh-huh. But she wouldn't tell me that. She said, you know, you want to be more confident, so just go on and have it done. Mm-hmm. But I appreciated her, you know, kind of pausing with it because I could read through the lines,
yeah.
between the lines that she really was saying.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know why we don't tell people the truth like that? Because we don't want that alienation that may happen. So right. it's our own fear of rejection, alienation, being alone and not having friends if we tell the whole truth.
Well, and that's true because I actually want to talk about this. You actually say that lying is a way of not trusting God. What does that mean? Why would that equate to what are we not trusting God with?
Well, whatever we lie about, mm-hmm. because we fear the consequences of the truth. Mm-hmm. So whether mm-hmm. you're lying on your taxes, mm-hmm. we fear that if I tell the truth and only take certain deductions, I won't get as much money back. So there's a consequence that we're trying to avoid.
Right.
And so that's, you know, we have to understand that. Now, are we trusting God or are we not? Mm-hmm. Because when we lie, we're saying, I'm going to make my own way.
Yeah.
I don't believe God's going to work this out to my advantage. So I'm going to take steps to make it my own way. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. I mean, yeah. that's the reality. And I like to get to the bottom line on why. What's my why?
Yeah. And that's a good point. And well, I will, after we're done taping here, I'm going to give you the email address of my friend. And anytime you want a real opinion, she's going to be available for you.
And people come to me for that, too. They'll say, I know you'll tell me the truth. And I'm thinking, like, oh, I hate this position.
Here I go. I get, I get stuck in that spot.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so let's talk a little bit in light of that about flattery, because sometimes it can be we feel like we're stuck in that position and, what do I say? But sometimes we deliberately go out and flatter for means and gain of our own.
Yes.
How can we recognize that in ourselves as not just being kind?
No, because you know that flattery is an insincere compliment, probably with an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
So why would you tell somebody something like that? Because I'm sure there's something you could tell that's the truth about them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to say you have the most beautiful hair in the world, but I can say I really like how you handle yourself on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't mean your hair is not beautiful. what I'm saying is that
I think we can say that.
Yeah, you know what? But the point is, we have to understand again our why. Why would we flatter? Mm-hmm. Why would we tell somebody make an insincere compliment? Why would we do that? Because we may even be trying to ingratiate ourselves with that person, because we know people like to hear positive things about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I want to back up here a little bit and say, you know, because you've obviously drawn attention to a few things. We've talked about lying. We've talked about flattery. We've talked about complaining. What is a way that you would suggest, Deborah, for people to even assess what our tongue problems are? Because I think we can be a little self-deluded, and maybe we don't struggle with all of those, but how should we actually ask others for feedback? Should we just listen, write down maybe some of the things we're saying?
Well, I think you should ask yourself. I think you should do a self-audit. Mm-hmm. I always say I do a self-audit on my motives, my intent. Why am I saying that? Mm-hmm. Here's an example. Maybe I'm trying to impress somebody. For instance, on this trip that I'm on now, I'm going to do 6 media interviews and I'm going to do a keynote. So maybe I'm trying to impress everybody. I'm in Colorado doing 6 media interviews and a keynote. Like, who cares? Maybe I'm trying to impress somebody. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, am I just keeping my tribe informed? And I think I am. Uh-huh. Or am I trying to make myself look good? Like, she's really busy doing important stuff at Focus on the Family. So you got to understand your why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, honestly, and for risk of sounding like a walking Bible, but I do encourage singles, millennials, and everybody else to really make the Bible your the thing that all your paradigms are based on. It's your foundational truth, because it's going to affect everything else in your life. And so I like to be truthful in my heart. So there's a psalm that says, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. That means I need to be true to myself. That's what David said when he had slept with Bathsheba. You know, I messed up, but you want me to tell the truth. So I want to tell myself the truth. And that's great if you have friends who have the courage to say, you know, you don't have 20/20 vision on this area of your life. You need to look at this. That's a good thing. But if that doesn't happen, the word of God really is a good revelation of where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I also want to talk about tactless comments, being tactless, because now this is something, again, where I feel like people are either one extreme or the other. Either they don't say anything when they really should, and we're going to talk about that too, about being silent and the problems there. But being tactless, the most common thing I hear is, no, I'm not being tactless, or I'm not trying to be rude. That's just my personality, or I'm just being real. I'm just being, whether that's venting about something or making comments to someone or about someone.
And I say, as Dr. Phil says, is it working for you? Mm-hmm. Because listen, when you are tactless, that means you have not thought beyond your own feelings. I have to think, how will these words impact you? I need to think about that. That's why we don't blurt out the first thing that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. How will you respond to that? You know, and sometimes even men don't have a clue. For instance, sometimes I wear eyelashes, but on the other Sunday, I didn't wear eyelashes. And so my husband said, oh, you're not wearing your lashes. You're wearing your short ones today. I'm like, stop talking. You know, but we don't need to be tactless.
Even better if he says it at church in front of a bunch of people.
Oh, I would have shot him. That way. But, you know, really, we have to think about how would that just step outside of yourself for a second and receive that comment. Mm-hmm. How would that impact me? Mm-hmm. Would I want somebody to say that to my mother, my father, somebody I really love? Would I really want that? Mm-hmm. So I need to think about that, because I used to have a tendency to say to people who couldn't figure out things really fast, because I realized that I probably go a little bit faster than your average person when I'm doing something. Uh-huh. So I can't stand people who do things really slowly.
Right.
And I'm like, hop to it. Like, this, it's not brain surgery. Mm-hmm. So what am I saying? Your brain isn't working very fast or fast enough for me. So how would I feel? How would I feel? Wouldn't I feel like diminished by that comment? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we can self-audit. We can do that.
Okay. Now let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. Tell us about when it is wrong to actually be silent.
Ah, when you're using silence as a weapon. Mm. And women are better at it than everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we're using it to punish somebody, mm. especially, for instance, like I've been married 39 years. If I'm quiet, it's a problem. Mm. It's mm-hmm. a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we're coming from church and I'm not talking, or, you know, my husband perhaps has said something I just didn't appreciate hearing. And he'll say, "Are you okay?" You know, the worst thing we can say when somebody says, "Oh, what's wrong with you?" You say nothing. That's bad. That's mm-hmm. wrong. Now you're lying. Something mm-hmm. is wrong.
Yeah.
You need to be able to say, "I was offended when you said this," or that comment really, you know, that was kind of, that stung. Mm-hmm. You know, we can say that. We can be vulnerable, but it doesn't kill you to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So you don't want to use a silent tongue. And that's the last one I have in the book, because I talk about all these 29 things you shouldn't do. Then mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you need to be quiet sometimes too, but you don't need to be quiet when being quiet is a weapon.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I think so far we've talked about the things we shouldn't say. But honestly, if we're going to speak words, let's speak words that are life-giving and are encouraging of people. And what's a great, you know, give us a couple practical ways of really, you know, kind of homing in on what are some great ways we can build people up and proactively think in that direction.
Yes. In the book, I have 30 of them. Wow. These are positive ways to use your tongue. I'm going to just read a couple of them. You can use your tongue to apologize. Mm-hmm. You can use your tongue to ask for help. Mm-hmm. You can use your tongue to say, "I don't know." Hmm. Can you, you know, do you know? Share your knowledge. You can protest evil. Mm-hmm. So there are ways that you can add value to people's lives, totally away from just being negative. I have a friend who has an abusive husband, and he doesn't give her many compliments. And I had been studying Proverbs 31, and I told her, and there's a scripture that says she perceives that her merchandise is good. So I had told her, you know, you bring something to the table too. You bring good merchandise to the table. So once I called her and she wasn't there, and I left a message and I said, "Listen, I just want you to know your merchandise is good." She said she let that message stay on that machine for a long, long time. Whenever she felt down, she would play that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want people to feel good. And you don't have to flatter people to make mm-hmm. them feel good mm-hmm. because everybody has some worth.
Yeah.
And you can always tap into that and acknowledge that. That's very validating.
That's good. I just heard someone talk about how especially young adult women are so into kind of fangirling people. So they go on Twitter or they go on Facebook and they're going to be someone's fan, some celebrity, and they want to say be noticed or whatever. And this author was like, you know, find your friends and fangirl them, the people that you actually can pour into and speak to, even if it's just a quick text and
yes.
you just say, "Hey, thinking about you today," or "loved your dress when I saw you." You, or
yes.
just something that's, you know, small.
Or
and just
I like
kinda...
how you handle that situation. I like mm-hmm. it, especially when it's not something physical. Like, "I love your hair.
Yeah.
I love your choice of shoes." But,
so
you know, true. Really something that's character related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like it that I can depend on you. I like it that your word is your bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know, begin to identify those kinds of things in people. It is just, I'm telling you, so encouraging for
yeah.
people. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about, I know you mentioned that you had a mentor who told you to stop and pray every time before you thought to say something.
Yes.
How practically can you even fit that into your life? Because you're in a meeting and you're like, "Excuse me, I need to pray here because I'm about to say something."
You don't have to pray forever. And oh, holy God, in the name of Jesus who created the earth, you can just say, "Help me, Lord."
Oh, okay.
You know, help me to say the right thing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are many times I've been in meetings. Here's one.
Mm-hmm.
I was young. Well, wasn't that young. But at any rate, I had worked in a job where there was a man who had worked in another aspect of this big project we were on. They sat in the meeting, decided to vote him a really big bonus, and they didn't mention me at all. And I had just, you know, had done the financing, everything. Nobody said a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, give me the words. And so they had asked him to leave the room when they discussed his bonus.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to make an assumption. So I said, you know, I'm going to leave the room now and let you guys discuss my bonus.
Okay.
Was not on the agenda.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But I could have said, I can't believe you guys are such, whatever men are sometimes, that you would not even consider me for this bonus and all this that I've done that was more record-breaking than what he had done. Because women sometimes won't be assertive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way you need to use your tongue, to mm-hmm. be assertive. No matter what your age is, you don't have to be mean about it, but you need to be able to put your ideas, your druthers, your wants on the table in a non-threatening way to say, this is what I would like.
Yeah. Okay. So give us just kind of as we wrap here, that brings up a good point, especially for millennials. So the 20 and 30 somethings who maybe are in the workplace and maybe they feel, I mean, I would say, you know, sometimes I give them advice and just say, look, sometimes it's best not to speak. I think they think that in order to appear assertive or leadership or, you know, have potential, they just need to be talking all the time and be saying whatever. And sometimes we know scripture says wisdom sometimes is for those who are silent.
And it never says to keep quiet for peace sake.
Right. So give them a good example from your experience, especially in the professional world, of what is a good way to speak up when you need to speak up without just feeling like you have to be talking all the time.
Okay. So first of all, especially this age range you're talking about, you need to be respectful. And I find a lot of for people in my age range, we find their communication disrespectful. Just being that direct. You can be direct without being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Here's an example. I hired someone to do some social media work for me. And I was questioning the bill, but I just wanted to know because I had two different groups working this. And I said, now, can I expect those to be the number of hours it takes to do that project? And she said, listen, she said, I'm offended by that. You're questioning my integrity. And next time, get somebody else to do it. So okay. I said, now, as an older woman, I need to teach you something, mm-hmm. that you don't talk to a person like me. And I said, secondly, what you don't know is that I sometimes struggle with unforgiveness. And because I've opened lots of doors for you, I'm not inclined to open anymore.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I think we need to understand. But I said, I'll pray about it so God can help me to forgive you. But that may take a few days. So don't expect to get anything from me soon. And but I would like to see more respect. Yeah. And then because you can put your issues on the table and you got to find a way to do it. You got to say, this is what I would like. And this is why I deserve it.
Yeah.
That's important. That's not disrespectful. That's just being assertive. And people would appreciate that kind of leadership.
Yeah, that is good. Well, great thoughts, Deborah. We have been talking about 30 days to taming the tongue. What you say and don't say will improve your relationships. And Deborah, in addition to being a CPA, MBA from the University of Southern California, is a Bible teacher, speaker, certified behavioral consultant. So, and obviously, as you heard from her stories, has lived out a lot of this stuff as well. So you can find out more about her at confrontingissues.com. And we all have issues, folks. So just check it out. And then again, we will have the book linked as well. So, Deborah, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been fun.